An Obama vacation will shut down GA on Oahu for almost 2 weeks. Through the Fence advocates say the FAA has no data. And the City of Independence and the State of Oregon stand behind hangar homeowners. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, December 21st, 2009. U.S. President Barack Obama has called his current existence a bubble in which it's impossible to live a normal life. Worse, there's another sort of bubble that follows him wherever he goes and disrupts the lives and businesses of anyone engaged in or depending on general aviation. It's known loosely as the presidential TFR. It's a 30-mile radius ring in which, inexplicably, the only aircraft allowed to continue flying normally are the kind that were used as weapons on 9/11, airliners. It was a pain in the butt when the ring would occasionally land on the Bush Ranch in Crawford, Texas. But President Obama is taking his family to the Hawaiian island of Oahu this Wednesday through January 4th. The TFR he brings with him will essentially shut down general aviation businesses on the entire island for almost 2 weeks. Pat Magee, who with his wife Debbie runs Island Seaplane Services, says they can't afford 2 weeks off without pay during what could have been a busy tour season. Quote, "I have flown for 53 years and have over 39,000 hours of accident-free flying, and am a veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps during the Korean War. I do not feel that I am a threat to our government, but they must feel differently," unquote. He also notes the irony, quote, "9/11 taught all of us that the airlines are the size of equipment that can cause damage. It might be a lot safer if all the airlines were shut down and the smaller aircraft to fly," unquote. Another pilot told ANN, quote, "It would be one thing if the president had something important to do in demanding that we not fly. But this is a vacation, for God's sake, and our business interests as well as our right to fly where we choose would be more important than anyone's vacation," unquote. Obama was born in Hawaii, and the state voted for its new favorite son by a 72-27 margin in last year's presidential election. Some payback. I wonder how many businesses will wish he'd take his bubble and go someplace else. Find more detail on the TFR and its impact today in text form at aero-news.net. There were hints at Randy Babbitt's Meet the Administrator Forum at Oshkosh this past summer that the FAA's blanket policy of discouraging through-the-fence operations at federally funded airports was going to be an issue. Babbitt at the time said cases would get individual review. But effective September 30th, the FAA's new airport compliance manual has replaced discourage with prohibit. Brent Blue, who's founded throughthefence.org, says not only was the change made without any opportunity for public input, but the FAA's responses to his Freedom of Information Act requests reveal the decision was arbitrary, with no supporting data. Quote, "The new TTF prohibition rules look like FAA staffers made them up as they went along, based on their own prejudices without one iota of supporting data. This is a classic example of government gone wrong," unquote. Blue contends that terminating through-the-fence agreements when they expire will result in lower land valuations around affected airports, with corresponding losses of property tax revenues for municipalities. Betsy Johnson, an Oregon State Senator and former manager of Oregon Aeronautics Division, agrees. She calls the new prohibition, quote, "bad for airports, bad for the economy, and bad for the future of aviation," unquote. One of the biggest impacts of the sharper policy could happen at Oregon's Independence State Airport, which has about 200 adjacent homes with runway access. The Statesman Journal newspaper reports both the City of Independence and the State of Oregon have filed complaints in support of the airpark and its access to the airport. Greg Delpati, acting director of the Oregon Department of Aviation, notes, quote, "Oregon has had a safe and financially self-sufficient airport at Independence State Airport that is adjacent to over 200 residential airpark homes, many of which have been there since 1974, unquote. The FAA has no direct jurisdiction to force airports to end through-the-fence agreements, but it can stop the flow of federal airport improvement grants and demand repayment of previous grants if compliance with its manual is not maintained. Up next on ANN, a missing pilot mystery in Florida is suddenly a murder mystery. A Northwest flight diverts when both pilots report tingling in their extremities. And the British High Court says cabin crews cannot strike British Airways tomorrow. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 21st. I'm Paul Plack. There's a disturbing turn of events in the disappearance of a Florida pilot. The FBI said Friday that 26-year-old Robert Wiles of Lakeland, Florida, was kidnapped on April 1st, 2008, by a 42-year-old contractor at his family's aircraft maintenance company. On Friday, police arrested Stobert Holt on charges including first-degree murder, kidnapping, extortion, and for written threats to kill or do bodily harm. The Wiles family says that a few days after Robert's disappearance, they got a ransom note and complied with its terms but never got any further communication, and Robert was never found. FBI spokesman Dave Couvertier did not say how the Bureau reached its conclusion, only, quote, "Robert unfortunately is not alive and we have not located Robert's body," unquote. Holt is being held without bail. Keep up with any new details at aero-news.net. A Northwest Airlines flight on its way from Minneapolis to Cleveland diverted to Grand Rapids, Michigan, last Wednesday night after the pilot and co-pilot both reported feeling a tingling sensation in their hands and feet. Neither crew member needed hospitalization, but one was taken off the aircraft on a stretcher. WOOD Television reports an FAA spokesperson said she was not aware of carbon monoxide being detected in the cockpit, which had been reported earlier by local media, but quoted airport sources as saying a loss of cabin pressure remains a suspect. The flight landed at Gerald R. Ford Airport at 6:23 p.m. local time, and passengers were boarded on a different plane at about 7:40. Passenger Patrick Phelps, who did not board the second plane, told the station that the pilots came on the intercom after landing to say that they had felt the tingling and ask if any passengers had had a similar sensation. None of the passengers said they had felt that. The pilots say they tried oxygen in an attempt to relieve the sensation, but to no avail. The FAA is investigating. British Airways cabin crews have been told by Britain's High Court that they cannot legally follow through with a threat to strike the airline over the holidays, from tomorrow through January 2nd. BA won the injunction after claiming that the union, Unite, gave strike ballots to workers who had already accepted voluntary layoffs. Unite claimed a 92% affirmative vote among the 80% of eligible members voting. The airline says it's delighted that a million Christmases won't be ruined. The union has issued a statement warning that some kind of action could still happen. Quote, "Given the clear mood of cabin crew about management's imposition of changes on their working lives, this means that the specter of further disruption to the company's operations cannot be removed. Only a negotiated agreement can do that," unquote. Still ahead, NASA reports a successful excursion with Sophia. Textron and Cessna see better days ahead. And what would you do to move to the top of the Skycatcher waiting list? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, December 21st. I'm Paul Plack. NASA has what seems to be an endless supply of funny acronyms for its projects. A new one we'll have to learn now is SOFIA. It stands for Stratospheric Observatory for Infrared Astronomy. It's a Boeing 747 modified to allow a large door to be opened in flight, exposing a German-built 98-inch infrared telescope. As you might imagine, opening the door on a 747 at altitude is a little bigger challenge than opening the door on a Cub to snap a photo. On Friday, NASA opened that door in flight for the first time to test how air flows around the telescope. The test was preparatory to the first attempt to actually use the telescope that'll be coming in the spring. SOFIA is expected to be in use for 20 years after it's officially commissioned. Textron and Cessna announced Thursday that they see continued stabilization in the bizjet market. Cessna management says availability of used aircraft is declining, customer utilization of the existing fleet has stabilized, availability of financing is improving, and customer inquiries for new orders are beginning to increase. Cessna expects cancellations in the first quarter to reduce its backlog by about $1.7 billion, but have little effect on planned deliveries through 2012. The company promises updated guidance on 2010 business jet deliveries with its earnings report on January 28th. And it finally happened on Friday. The first Cessna 162 Skycatcher was delivered to its new owner in a ceremony at Yingling Aircraft in Wichita, one of three U.S. reassembly facilities which put Skycatchers back together after they arrived from China. That first new owner is Rose Pelton, wife of Cessna CEO Jack Pelton. Cessna says it has taken orders for over 1,000 Skycatchers. If it can begin delivering them in a significant quantity, it's poised to become the largest maker of light sport aircraft in the U.S., a distinction that currently belongs to Flight Design. Now, there's a joke in here somewhere about paying a heavy price to get to the top of the waiting list, but I'm going to let you do that on your own. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves looks back on an accident in Canada that offers lessons on flight in icing conditions. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.